in order for us to really go or understand the depths of the meaning of the gospel today, it's important for us to understand the context. We were told early on at the very beginning of the gospel that the people were amazed at the every deeds of Jesus. People were amazed at every deeds of Jesus. What was going on before this? Well, prior to this gospel was the gospel that we heard yesterday, where Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And they were saying, "Oh, some people think that you're John the Baptist. Some people think that you're Elijah." And then he turned the question to them and say, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ." So there's the revelation already of the identity, of the divine identity of Jesus. So the disciples themselves were mesmerized, like, wow, God, the Messiah, is in our midst. Then after this revelation of Jesus, the gospel that followed it was the transfiguration, where God the Father confirmed what Jesus revealed to them. And then right after the transfiguration was the healing of the boy with epilepsy. Another miracle that the disciples were just enthralled. And then, following that, is the gospel that we have today. So they were all amazed with the things that they have witnessed thus far. And Jesus knew that the disciples and those who were following him were fixated on these miracles. They saw Jesus primarily as a miracle worker. But he did not cure every blind person in Judea. He did not raise to life every dead person in Jerusalem. There was just signs of a bigger reality. And what is that reality? That he's going to die on the cross to save humanity. And of course, that's just the total opposite of what the disciples and those who were following him understood who a Messiah is. It's like, how can the Messiah die? So the disciples, hearing the words of Jesus, they were looking at Jesus like, "Lord, don't be a downer. You're predicting your death. We have just witnessed how great you are." Suffering and death were not part of the criteria of messiahship on the part of the people. You know, sometimes we could fall into this mentality, just like of the disciples, that we just see discipleship, Christianity, as all roses, everything going well. That the cross is not part of it. Well, the cross is at the center of Christianity, of discipleship. Not that we are masochists, not that we like pain, but rather we see the pattern of life, true life, in eternal life, in the very person of Jesus, in which he had to suffer and die in order to give us that promise of eternal life before resurrection could take place. Before resurrection could take place, he has to suffer and die first, which tells us then that there is a redemptive value in our suffering, in whatever cross we might be carrying right now. I've mentioned this before, that in the face of human suffering, especially of loss, of sudden diagnosis of illness, the question is, where is God in all of this? Well, God is right there. He doesn't give us an explanation through theology, not lofty theological ideas, but rather he comes and be with us. Divine solidarity. That's the answer of Jesus. That's the answer of God to us. You know, when you want to convince a person to drink something And that, you know, you want to convince that person that there's no poison in that drink. What do you do to convince that person, you know, ultimately that there's no poison in there? You drink it first yourself. Christ drank the seemingly poisonous in the eyes of people, even in the eyes of the disciples, the cup of suffering. But he said, suffering does not have the final word. Look at me. I will resurrect. And that's also going to be the pattern of every disciple of mine. We'll look at the cross then. We'll look at the suffering of Jesus, not as a defeat, and not as a discouragement, but rather a participation in the very life of Christ. And because of this, we remain filled with hope.